Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Man, it feels like ages since we've talked to 13WAM Sports Director Mike Catalana here in the sports bar. So much so that Mike is a changed man now. He's driving back from the christening of his grandchild. And before that, you were in Ireland playing on some legendary golf courses. Mike, I have to imagine you've got a different perspective of life right about now compared to us mere mortals. How are you, buddy?
All good, thank you. Yeah, certainly having a grandchild is life-changing. And then in a totally different way, golf in Ireland is perspective changing too, because they play a different sport over there than we play here.
Yeah, I mean, describe what that is like going, for us that have never been to Ireland, just Mike, how was the trip?
So it was great. It's just a bunch of guys with that kind of trip, and it was basically golf. I have to say, it was golf and pubs. That's a pretty good combination. And most of the guys on the trip that I got invited to go to had been before. A few of us hadn't. And the people were awesome. The courses were spectacular, very different than ours. The whole thing was just really, really enjoyable. I got to say, I'd never been to Ireland, and I was just impressed by the people. Look, it's not Italy for the food, but it's a pretty special place to go to. And the golf, like I said, there were times we just sort of laughed. Between the scenery was so different and the people were so nice, it was really a special trip.
Mike, let's start with the announcement of Buffalo Bills training camp returning to St. John Fisher. Yeah. We have a schedule here. Were you surprised at the length of time that they're going to be spending here at St. John Fisher?
Pleasantly, but you know, way back from when we first talked about this, I mean, we've been talking about the fact that McDermott and Bean, it's not lip service, that they love bringing the team to camp. And I think this really shows a commitment. Now, we've also talked about, we don't know what it means for next year or the year after, right? Because this was sort of a, you know, right now let's do this and then we'll see. And I think part of it is they're going to see how it goes. But they didn't just do a drive-by and come here for a week and wave to everybody, sign some autographs and go. Like you guys are saying, this is almost 3 weeks. It's 11 practices. It's a substantial part of training camp. Again, McDermott wants it. And I think he wants to set a tone for the beginning of the year. And the players adapt. Right. Yeah. Do they like being in their own homes? I guess. But they adapt to everything. They like all hanging out together. They get that separation from everybody else for a little while. So, like you said, a little surprised, but pleasantly surprised that it's 18 days, 11 practices.
Yeah, we were joking last week, Mike. What camp battles are there? I mean, what, the punting battle? Legitimately, there aren't many questions. For fans, this camp is going to be great, and the expectations are high. But from where you sit, from a report, like, is this camp actually kind of boring, knowing that we don't have many storylines entering this camp?
Yeah, I don't see it that way at all. I think there's a lot of battles on the defensive line. We're talking about playing time here. We're talking about a guy like A.J. Epenesa that's got to find his role, right, and where he's going to be. Offensive line, it's still got to be the best five, and we've seen him make changes there. You know, even when you look at running back, you know, they brought in the kid, but Zach Moss comes back, and we've been making the joke, you know at some point we're going to hear he's in the best shape of his life, because that's what you hear when a guy's in that kind of battle. And I want to see how the whole wide receiver thing shakes out, too. We know the top. I mean, we're not talking about Deion Dawkins fighting for his job. We're not talking about certainly Von Miller. But I think there's a lot of those, quote, battles to see where guys stack in, stack up. And then how about, you know, I said this to you right after the draft. I think Pierre Elam's going to start day one. But he's got to earn it. And Dane Jackson's going to fight him and going to make him work. So I think there's still a lot of those things left to be played out. I will tell you, I do believe Josh Allen is still going to be the starter.
Okay.
We're wondering about that.
Good. Mike, here's something to kind of keep an eye on, because we haven't seen much of him. We haven't seen any of him during the offseason program due to injury, and it's the right tackle position with Spencer Brown. And you brought in a guy in David Quessenberry who was good last year for Tennessee. I mean, could that be a potential camp battle here with Brown? Does Brown find himself a little bit behind in terms of his lack of availability here this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. Again, I think they have high hopes for Spencer Brown. So that doesn't mean if he's not up to speed at the beginning. Look, for different reasons, with COVID last year, Deion wasn't up to speed and had to sort of fight through it. I think they've protected themselves from a little bit of that. They actually look like they have quality depth on this offensive line this year, which is something they haven't really had. And, you know, certain other guys, we'll see if they're even around. You know, we've talked about Cody Ford and guys like that and still fighting wherever they're going to be. But I think, you know, with Roger Saffold coming in and the guys coming back from last year, I think they have some quality depth there. But Spencer Brown was good. He was physical. He was what they wanted. But it's not like he's established, guaranteed guy there. He's going to have to work his way back to proving that coming into camp.
Mike Catalano, 13 Wham, joining us here in the sports bar. Mike, Danger and I have thought about this. We've talked off air a lot about it. Like, how do you balance the Pegula's request for privacy, knowing that there is actually real concern here when you read a statement like that? What is your level of concern right now and your thoughts on the situation surrounding Kim Pegula?
Yeah, you know, we've had these discussions internally in the newsroom, too. Like, as much as there is, whether it's a desire, because people certainly are concerned about a person that's prominent in Western New York or Rochester, you know, the native of Rochester, and someone whose family is very important to sports in Western New York. There's also that part of, I don't know how much they're obligated to tell us. It's a very private and obviously serious enough the way it's been described to all of us that, you know, there's a balance there between what we need to know and what we will know. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a right for concern. And I just think you have to look at it that way. Do we need to know? You know what I'm saying? Is it's not that type of thing. It's still, as much as they're public people, it is a personal battle, whatever it is that she's going through and her family's going through. So it's sort of a fine line, I think, you walk in terms of how much of that is important that we have more detail to it than what they've already shared, which is obviously, for many reasons, pretty limited.
Mike Catalano, 13 Wham Sports, joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. Mike, I wanted to get back to the football field and the wide receivers. You mentioned that this might be the year, and it, you know, hear me out on this. This could be the year where you see the Bills actually carry seven when you hear the reports of Tavon Austin and how he's acclimated quickly. We certainly have Jameson Crowder looking like he or Isaiah McKenzie could take the role that Cole Beasley had last season. Gabe Davis, Steph Diggs, you've got the rookie in Shakir. And then Jake Kumerow, who's, you know, a core special teamer, a guy like Marquez Stevenson, Isaiah Hodgins, who they invested in last, a couple of years ago in the draft, might find themselves on the outside looking in. Do the Bills take seven into their final 53?
That's always really interesting as we get to the end, because some of it sometimes has to do with other positions, where they might have got nicked up, where they're a little shorter, who they can hide on a practice squad, who they need to keep, and then bring back somebody else later, because that's happened too. But it really is. I think that slot position. Look, I'm a big fan of Shakir. I think that kid is eventually going to be really good. But when you look at it, you just mentioned that about like McKenzie. And then you do have Jamison Crowder, a guy who has been there and done it in this league. And they brought in for that reason. There's always a surprise in this case. And there's going to be somebody that maybe just you start to find that doesn't fit where we think they fit. But isn't it amazing how far we've come with the wide receiver position with the Bills? Where now we're talking about you're keeping seven possibly because you have seven real candidates to play and be effective somewhere in the offense or on special teams. Whereas a few years ago, you couldn't name seven. You didn't want to keep three, let alone seven, but that's what you ended up doing. By the way, I've said this to you guys before, and I really mean this. When I say Gabe Davis needs to step up, I think he's done everything asked of him. But I think this is the first time he's coming in expecting to be the guy. And I certainly don't mean ahead of Steph Diggs, but that other guy. Like, Gabe has been a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then had, one of the great games in the history of the NFL playoffs. So he's done it. But if you look at his overall numbers, he's played like a fourth wide receiver and made big plays and had good playoff games. Now he's really, he's number two. And so that's going to be expected of him. I think he's up for it. I'm a big fan of his, the way he plays. But it's a little different when you go in and you're looking for, you know, seven catches for 85 yards is a regular day for Gabe Davis. I mean, it's great he had 204 touchdowns in the playoffs, but I'm talking about week in, week out, regular guy that Josh goes to. That's really what I want to see this year out of him.
Yeah, so Gabe Davis, and gosh, if you play this out because you see receivers now, 1 year left on the deal, give me a new deal. Well, this would be his money year and a year in advance here, if you're going by that. Here's my question, Mike. Jordan Poyer was a storyline that ended up being not much of a storyline, right? He came to mini camp and he's participating in the drills and he wants a new contract, which I think he's got every right in his representation to ask for it. Does it get to a point, though, where Brandon Bean has to think about who is next? To me, there's always been kind of a clear line here from Deion Dawkins to Tre'Davious White to Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. And now here's Jordan Poyer putting his hand up in the air. But, gosh, what if Dawson Knox's representatives say, hey, let's do a deal? And actually they're willing to cut a sweetheart deal. I mean, there's so many names here, Mike, that are up here within a relative short amount of time. Should we kind of expect Brandon Bean here maybe to do nothing not to upset everybody in that locker room?
I don't necessarily think it would upset players in the locker room. Look, if you're Jordan Poyer, he's in a different spot. And he's more of a comp in one way to Jerry Hughes. Now, the difference is they kept drafting or signing players to replace Jerry Hughes. They haven't done that with Jordan Poyer. And I do know they have certain things they want to do in terms of following the way they want to pay players and who they want to play. Hey, but at the same time, there's nobody to replace him right now. And I know you say it's not a story because he can't. Well, he came to minicamp. There's no reason to hold out of that minicamp. He's already made it known he wants the new deal. If I'm him, I'm definitely showing up for 2 days at a mandatory minicamp. What am I getting by missing that? It would be more at camp. Now, I'm not saying Jordan Poyer is going to hold out of camp. But I'm saying my guess is he and Drew Rosenhaus want to see the money. Training camp because they're going to want something. And if I'm Brandon Bean and there's a guy on this roster that I'm going to pay maybe a little more for another year and maybe not necessarily break what I want, but come on, the guy has played at an all-pro level. And yes, he's 31 or going to be 31 years old. But are you really doing that with what you have for a guy, you know, where you don't really have another safety? So do you think Jordan Poyer can play at that level for one more year or two more years? I think he can. So do we see that? I mean, I would say this. I'll be stunned if Jordan Poyer just says, I'm fine. I'm coming back. I'm playing this year under that contract. I just don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe Brandon Bean has some sort of a plan to satisfy Poyer but also not blow up the structure that they tried to create cap-wise. But he's a very popular player on that team, a very important player to the defense. So we haven't hit deadline time yet. That's training camp. I don't think he wants to be that guy. He's a big team guy. But come on, what is he going to do, play his way out and then be 32 and free and on the open market to a new team? That's a little tougher. So let's see what happens. But I still think there's a lot to be played out there.
Mike, what does that look like? I mean, in my opinion, if it's anything more than 2 years, $25 million, the Bills got had. And I don't know that Jordan Poyer, as good as he was last year at all-pro level, is worth more than $10 million a year when you consider that guys who have better stats are signing for less than what Poyer is making right now in the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right. Sometimes the stats show up that way. The way the Bills play defense, some teams don't emphasize the safeties as much. They're incredibly important to this defense. And those two together, both as team leaders and certainly players at their positions, are that important. Yeah, I'm not giving him crazy money, and I'm not giving him 4 years or even 3 years, but I think they're going to figure out a way to put more money in his pocket and extend him. My guess would be, you know, I could see some sort of a redone deal for an additional year this year and next year to spread it out and pay him for two more. I still think you're getting a top 10, if not better, safety in this league for two more years. You do see teams sometimes hold the line on that, and then they don't replace the guy. I was wondering if they would be drafting a safety. Dax Hill from Michigan was a guy I really liked. That would have changed the whole dynamic. They haven't really done that. There's nobody really to take their place in a full-time, permanent way. So I think he's going to get more. But to your point, Danger, I'd say it's going to be team-friendly enough that it makes sense.
13 Wham's Mike Catalana joining us. And, Mike, your station has been the home of sports here practically between the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final tonight. It's Game 3. I don't know. It feels like this is already over here between Colorado and Tampa Bay, and we're only at 2-0.
Yeah, Colorado is really good. I mean, you know, there were enough times this year you just watch them, and it almost at times felt like they were playing a different sport. You got to give a lot of credit to Tampa. I mean, to make it to the finals 3 years in a row and the way they did it this year, very impressive. You know, I was just talking to some people. They were like, to be quite honest with you, it was the priest who did the baptism today. He's like, can you believe they're winning all these hockey games in Florida? I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's funny in that way that they built that. And they've been a great franchise, and they still are, to make the finals. But I'm with you. I think, I don't know if it's a sweep, but I think this one's over pretty quickly. You know, Colorado's just, I think they're the best team, and I think they're going to end up proving it. Over maybe the next three games, maybe do it in five.
Mike, I wanted to get your take on golf. We were talking about you golfing in Ireland, and we've certainly had golf on the front burner here with a major this last weekend, of course, the LIV Tour the weekend prior. First of all, your take on what's going on with the LIV Tour was we have the new one now? The Matsuyama's defecting going, over to the LIV Tour. I mean, your thoughts on that and you know what it might mean for the PGA Championship next spring here in Rochester. Will we see some of these names that have defected over to the LIV Tour come next May?
Yeah, really interesting. If you listen to some of the USGA guys talk, I thought, you know, how is the USGA going to limit or keep some of these guys out? And I thought they'd, you know, because it is the U.S. Open and there's certain ways, but they can alter the ways you get in to a major championship like the U.S. Open in terms of, you know, anybody can qualify. So I guess those players could be forced to go, you know, like some have been to qualify. It's really going to come to a head a bit. What's really surprised me, and somewhat pleasantly, because I kind of root for those guys, but like you guys know, to hear Rory, to hear John Rahm talk about the tour, it's been an odd sort of boost for the tour when you hear the way those guys talk. Look, we can all talk about the money, and I get it, and what it means for next year. Look, if Dustin Johnson's not there next year, okay. Mickelson, that's an odd one. He already missed out on defending his PGA Championship. And, of course, he was not a factor in this U.S. Open. Still a lot left to be done. But I also think, this also greatly increased chance of seeing Tiger. Because I think Tiger's going to do everything he can physically, you know, get himself ready to show up at these majors. Because he's obviously he had a chance to bail on this like everybody else and put another $500 million in his pocket. He's not doing that. So, you know, there seems to be that. And you guys hear it. You hear it in Rory and Rahm and those guys, and Pete, the way they talk about the tour. So those guys, nothing. I mean, if they come, they come, whatever. I think it increases the chances of all the other guys being there, and maybe even a guy like Tiger getting himself ready and coming back to Oak Hill.
I'm concerned about Dan Fates. 14 game winning streak, and you're still 5.5 back when it was over.
Hey, let me tell you something. As I'm driving in the car, it says right on there, objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. Settle down there, Sonny. It's already started to happen. The Phillies got their act together. The Braves have been great. And it's just a matter of time. It is just a matter of time for the Mets. You know it's coming.
No.
You know it's coming.
The two best players are like, Scherzer is going to Binghamton, not coming to Rochester tomorrow night. And when you get Scherzer and DeGrom back, and yes, the Braves and Mets, I think it's 9 times they play one another in the month of July. But come on, Mike, the Phillies are, you change closers, good for you, yeah.
What's great is that, you know, the Mets are like, you know, I still hear it as in New York, I hear all of it. It's just great. Everything's great, but they're all sitting there going, it's only June. It's only June. My favorite month for baseball is August, because that's when it really starts for them. And then it's full on panic when September hits. So we're just waiting. Braves and Phillies are, you know, just getting themselves in place and just waiting for it to happen.
But Mike, are we willing to concede that the Mets might be a postseason team, though? I mean, I'm willing to even concede that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the collapse, but I also see how it's going, and I'm thinking to myself,
well, you know what might even, you're right, you might even be better, is that they win the division. There's a sense of immense relief. We hear about Subway Series and all that, and then first series for the Mets, get out the golf club. They'll be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
This is just, I'm going to let, we're saving all these clips so when the Mets do reach the peak of the mountain, we'll play them back for Mike Cantillon in October. Okay, Mike, keeping score.
It'll be even better if it's the Phillies are the ones knocking them out.
Mike, safe travels, man. Appreciate the time. We'll be looking out for you at 13 Wham and also at BuffaloPlus.com and continuing coverage as we get ready for training camp at Fisher late next month, man. Be well.
All right. Same to you guys.
Got it. Thanks, 13 Mike. Wham's Mike Catalana joining us here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. Love catching up with Mike. We've got appetizers next in the sports bar. Some news and notes to get to from around the NFL and, dare I say, even the USFL. One of our favorites just completed his first USFL assignment over the course of the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we got news out of Jacksonville, Cleveland. David Johnson kind of pulling his name out of the hat. Remember him?
Yeah.
And yes, we will have some hot USFL talk.
All on the way next, appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.